Hi everyone, this is QuestCast, your adventure through gaming over the last week. Got a few things today, lots of new stuff, lots of things that we can't play because we don't have a PS4, but we'll get over it. I'm Kieran, and joining me is Caitlin. Say hi, Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin.
Oh, you're so funny. Oh well. You can find us on QuestCast.com. You can go check out our YouTube channel. You can, you know, find us on Twitter and just, you know, insult us if you really want. But let's get started with what's coming out. I think the one of the biggest reveals this week was Battlefield 5. It was a very pretty trailer, I'll say that. It's not wartime accurate because I don't think there was females with, you know, crimson red ponytails and claw hands running around in World War II. What do you think, Caitlin?
I don't know what war is it meant to be depicting.
World War II.
Is it?
Yes, I did say that.
I don't think you did.
I said it twice, I think. Anyway, thoughts?
I don't know. There might have been women running around.
Not in that abundance. So, the online community has spoken out about it, how Battlefield's always been like more historically correct than all the other shooters, like Call of Duty and stuff. And this seems like they're going in the opposite direction with Battlefield 5. They've also said they're not going to have a season pass or a premium pass or whatever, which only makes me think, if they're not making all the money in the world there, they're going to have more cosmetics, more microtransactions and stuff to be sold. Which,
so?
Well, it ruins the gameplay.
Does it?
I personally believe it does, yes.
But you don't like season passes or loot boxes, so what do you want?
Them to make a game that's good and... Like, these games already make so much money. They just get greedy, essentially. They have investors that want certain amounts of money. And that's what they do. Because, like, games like Senua's Sacrifice, Hellblade on PS4, that was a beautiful game that didn't have any of that.
Never heard of it.
It's because you don't look up things. It was like the PS4 hit before God of War.
Yeah, but I don't look up Battlefield and I know what that is.
That's because it's a series. This was a new thing. A new franchise. But it's so annoying. I wish that they could... Even if they did do microtransactions, it was a bit better than what they're probably going to do. Because it's EA, so I can only expect the worst. Since they can't do loot boxes anymore, since they fuck that up for themselves and everybody. A guy, Mark Gallagher, spoke out about it, saying how unfair it is that Belgium's gaming committee, I can't remember what, essentially the gambling committee, are targeting games. And it kind of comes from a place, it sounds like he was coming from a place of like, you know, we can't make as much money. What are we going to do when the only companies doing that aggressive loot box style are the ones with all the money already, which is kind of funny, and mobile games, but that's neither here nor there.
Mm-hmm.
It's unfortunate. But back to Battlefield, I did think it looked really pretty, and I am amazed at like what they can pull off these days.
Yeah, it looked good.
What was your comment about, you were saying that who are you shooting and stuff? Like, who's on your team?
Well, no, that was more of a generalistic, like, actually in war, how do you, when you're in the battlefield, how do you know what, like, who's the enemy and who isn't?
See, that's something I've always thought, actually. Like, who, if... One squad of like the enemy soldiers, unless you're like white people versus Asian people, like, then it's a little bit more obvious. Yeah, but
in the heat of the battle, you
in the heat of the battle, you wouldn't have time to. But like, in general, let's say it was two Asian countries fighting or two white countries fighting. Why does one group not just, all right, we're going to wear like six of their uniforms and during the heat of battle, like, walk around? Like, I don't know how it works, but I just don't get it. They must have been a lot more organized than we perceive from Battlefield 5.
Yeah.
You would hope so anyway.
Yeah, I've got no clue.
Since everybody in Battlefield 5 dies multiple times. But even in those like wartime games, if I didn't have the HUD, I would not know who I'm shooting. Like, it comes up red if they're bad, and green or blue or whatever the crosshair comes up as if they're good. Which, if I didn't have that, I'd be like sitting there with my sniper. Do I shoot this guy? Surely.
It's not like they're color-coded.
Yeah, I need to sneeze. I am sorry. But no. They're all, well, they are color-coded to whatever the environment is. So everyone's wearing camouflage. It's the same camouflage.
And yeah, it's not like they have team colors or anything.
Yeah, they don't organize before the war. All right, you guys are red, we're blue. We're going to shoot each other now and go. It's not a team sport. Though America, if they could make war a team sport, or North Korea would. Mm-hmm. No, they would make nuclear missiles a team sport, and theirs would always come in last. But oh well. It's coming out for PC, Xbox One, PS4. I don't imagine it. Imagine playing it on the Switch. It wouldn't look like that, but it'd be cool. I can see it'll come out on Origin for PC. I don't think it'll be on Game Pass or PlayStation Plus or anything. Would be nice, but because then I might actually play it. But I'm probably not going to spend $60 on it. Unless it's one of those games that, like, if all your friends have it, it is fun to play with them. But, like, you wouldn't get it by yourself.
Probably not.
Because that's how I've always felt about those games. I played Battlefield 3 because, like, I was living with a roommate at the time and he was really into it. So his brother would come around and one of our other friends would come around and we'd all play it. So it was fun being in a squad. But if I was to buy one of those games, launch it by myself and just try and rank up, like, I just feel like it's work.
There are people that do it, though.
Yeah, and I feel like they're working.
Like, well, if you obviously have, they don't.
It's like Dota or things like that when a professional says, like, they do an interview with a professional, they're like, oh, you know, some days you don't feel like playing, but you got to do it. And I'm like, okay, to them, it is work, so that this is very different. But, like, when people take it like that, you know, oh, I got to get up and get my rank today, or, like, that's one day I haven't done it. I'm like, that sounds not fun to me.
Wait, you've just said that because people don't play with a group of friends, they systematically play it every day. And
no, I'm not saying that it's always like that. I'm just saying that the people that can do that, it's strange to me.
Oh.
Like, it's strange. It's a strange concept to me. It's why I never stick with MMOs, because I know a lot of people suffer from that. Oh, I need to do the weekly this week kind of thing.
Mm.
The only thing that's gotten me really good is the Dota 2 Battle Pass. Like, yeah. I do want to finish that. But before that, I played a lot of Dota anyway, so this just allows me to get more rewards for what I was probably already going
to
do.
I find it more rewarding. It's something to work with.
Yeah, but if I get up and I'm like, I don't feel like playing Dota, I don't play Dota. It'd be the same for any other game. Like, once a MMO bores me, I don't think, oh, not into it, but I want to get that weekly so badly.
I think you are suffering from the thing you're talking about.
Yeah, but then I don't do it.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the people that feel like, oh, this isn't fun anymore, but then still do it, which is a thing.
Mm.
I can't remember. There's like a symptom for it. I think it's like something loss syndrome or something.
Are you talking about sunken cost?
Sunken cost. That's the one. Thank you. Yeah, I think that has something to do with it. Like, if you've already invested time, you feel like you should invest more because you're further in this than you are in something else.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't get that too often. Anyway, we'll go on to the next topic. The Bard's Tale 4. I've played 2, 3. I'm not even sure if this was an expansion or something because it had a name. But what do you think of the trailer?
I don't even remember what it was.
So that's not helpful at all. It's this lovely story game about a bard. So if we just quickly skip through it, it's a lot of talking and...
No, it's that turn-based.
Yeah, turn-based one. Combat. It's got like a weird combat mechanic, but I think that really works for it.
Does it?
Well, different can be good. It can also be very bad, but I mean they've gotten a lot of them, so yeah. So their alpha trailer released this week. That's what it was. I think it'll be really fun. I think it's really unique, and
I don't know. Turn based always puts me off.
Yeah, I like turn based.
It's too unimmersive.
Yeah, I can see that. I can see that for some games, but some turn-based games, like, I can't imagine them being able to do that without it.
But just because they can't do it, like, do it a different way doesn't mean that it's good.
That's true, but I can't think of a good example right now, but I felt like I've played some. I thought I would have had a great example, but I didn't have any.
No.
What about South Park? We played that, and I think that was really funny. And I think it would have cheapened it if it was real time.
It was okay because of the humor, but after a while, it was just sort of like, meh. Like, it was funny to begin with because it was like, they're like... Making funny references to things that are taken seriously.
But do you think they could have done that with real-time combat as well?
Well, kind of, because they could have just called the abilities that you locked, the things that they called the abilities. Like, some of the lines that they said were funny, so yes, they could have still said those lines in battle.
I don't think it would have worked for, like, timing and stuff as well. Like, it felt very scripted, which is fine. I just think it worked as turn-based. And I think turn-based, maybe not for you, but for a lot of people, it helps them when they get stressed out by, like, fast-paced combat or, like, if they can't sit there and think about their, like, inteenth turn, it hurts them. Well, not hurts them, but... makes it harder and more stressful for them. I don't know. Do you resonate with that at all?
No, because like you make a plan anyway, and then the enemy does something that means that you can't do that anymore anyway. So like it's constantly changing. So it's not like you've planned out 20 moves ahead because. Then the enemy
I'm not saying that you plan out 20 moves ahead, but I'm saying that you have the time to at least plan what your next move is without like that. That's
but you can't possibly know what your next move is going to be until you know what the enemy's done.
I mean, I think you're overgeneralizing quite a bit there, because that is a very big part.
You can have an idea of what you want.
Yeah, that's
to
what
do,
I'm saying.
But then. The enemy goes and then you sit there again and have to rethink everything. So
yeah, and a lot of people like that is what I'm saying.
I know. You're asking me and I'm giving you my opinion.
All right. I'm saying that's why I think that's why people like it. I don't think it's wrong. I do like I do prefer real time over turn-based. It's very, very few turn-based games that I like. But it's one of the biggest reasons I like Stellaris over other 4X games because it's real time.
The only turn-based thing that I liked was Final Fantasy 13 or whatever was it? The one where they did, like, real-time turn-based stuff?
Yeah, that's... I wouldn't even know what to call that.
I think it was called real-time turn-based.
That, okay, that's weird. I don't like it.
I don't, like, I'm pretty sure that's what how people were referring to it. But that's, that I'm happy with. I liked that. I enjoyed that. I enjoyed the combat in it.
It was more like timed real-time. Like, you just had timed attacks.
Yeah, there was just cooldowns and stuff. It just made it more real. Like, it, the battlefield was alive. Rather than people just standing there going, oh, yeah, we're fighting.
I think you need, yeah, you're very different because a lot of people probably didn't like that about it because they wanted.
Oh, no, a lot of Final Fantasy fans fucking hated 13. And it was like very unpopular, but.
I liked the story. I've got to say, I didn't like the combat.
I loved the combat.
Oh, well. It could be a. I don't know how it could be worse, but it could be worse.
I'm assuming it's 13. I think it's 13.
13 is the one with lightning and...
Yeah, lightning.
Yeah, had the timed...
storm? Was there a storm?
I don't know. When there's lightning, there's usually storm, Caitlin.
Or something. There was there was a boy. I'm pretty sure he was called Storm or something.
I played it twice and I cannot remember.
Yeah, I remember lightning.
I remember lightning because she even had her own game afterwards called Lightning Returns or something. That was a thing.
Yeah, she was very popular.
She is cool. I do have to finish that one. I haven't finished 13-2, I think. Their numbering system is weird.
Yeah, no, it's really weird.
I haven't finished 13-2.
Yeah, I don't think I finished it either.
I do kind of want to finish it before I play 15, but I'll probably just play 15. Yeah. Because 15. Anyway, caffeine is going to enable dev monetization. So I don't know if you read anything about this. Do you know what caffeine is?
Nope. Oh, wait. I think I've heard of it.
It's a substance that helps you get through the day when you're a grumpy old person.
Or alternatively?
Alternatively, it's something like Twitch. So like a streaming service for games.
Okay.
What their idea is...
I haven't heard of it then.
Don't quote me on the numbers, but I'm just giving you an example. Say caffeine takes 50% of the donations and like your subscriptions, right?
Mm.
Now, that means you get 50%. So instead of that, let's say it's going to be 33 goes to them, 33 goes to you, and 33 goes to the dev of the game you're playing.
Oh.
You don't sound excited by that.
Is it exciting? I thought...
I'm not excited, but you don't...
I thought people would be upset about that.
They probably will be. They'll make less money as a... as a game, as a person trying to do this, but I think it's fair because, well, I think it's fair depending on the game type. If you're playing a single player game that has a story, and if someone's watching that story and now doesn't need to play the game, the dev should get compensated for that.
Fair enough.
But for the multiplayer games, which this is basically free advertising for the game, like Fortnite and stuff, like that's blown up because of streamers and stuff. I think that's very different from a single player game. So I don't know if they'll tailor it to, no, if single player games,
it's going to be impossible to tailor it.
Yeah. If any sort of game gets it, those companies will be like, well, we want more money, so you better give it to us as well. So there's never going to be any tailoring for it. I think it's fair. If it has to be done that way, for those single player type of games, I think it is solely fair that they get it. If 1,000 people aren't going to play that game because they've already watched the story because of guy X streamed it, or do you have an opposing opinion?
I'm only thinking. I mean, I know it's on a larger scale, but it's the equivalent of inviting a friend round to watch you play. Do they need to get compensated for that?
Get what you're saying? I think because of the large scale, it very much differs, though.
Mm.
It'd be the same as hiring a movie to, I think, even though this isn't illegal or anything, but hiring a movie for a large group of people to watch. Technically, you shouldn't be allowed to do that, but there's nothing.
Why is that? Why should you not technically be allowed to do that?
I think there's a thing about it. This was a long time ago because obviously the way people watch movies is extremely different now. I'm talking about like 90s and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like over a certain amount of people was classed as a different event. Like there was like you bought a movie or hired a movie and it was for your family, which was up, let's say up to 10 people. Anything over than that was classified as an event, but there was no way to police it. And
that is stupid.
World's a stupid place. I do get it for games though, because they Twitch and stuff does. I've seen a few devs say that it's really hurt their sales, and I can exactly see why. The like games like Detroit, Detroit Become Human, mm-hmm. where you've got a lot of different choices and they spend a lot of time. I think you could watch someone play that and then go enjoy it yourself. And still have a different experience, even though it's single player. But a game like, let's think of a good single player game right now. Is there any good ones? I think God of War is a decent example. That's got a more linear story. And while, yes, some people will watch it and be like, that's really fun, I'm going to play it. I think there'll be a lot of people that watch it and experience it through that person playing,
mm-hmm.
so the dev has lost out on that sale. Mm. And if that person had no way of watching a streamer do it, they were more likely to buy the game themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You're saying mm-hmm a lot, like you're disagreeing with
me. No, I'm showing you that I'm listening to you.
Well, showing.
I would only suggest that perhaps you could look at it as maybe none of those people were going to buy the game anyway, hence why they're watching, rather than buying it. And number two, maybe the streamer themselves was never going to buy that game, but because they are a popular streamer and they have, you know, certain content that they need to release, they've bought this game and played this game where possibly they may not have had they not been streaming.
Yep. And there's all that stuff to consider, but I think more times out of 10, see, here's the thing. I'm looking at as this one, like the 1% of story games that I played, because I don't think streaming affects multiplayer games or at least competitive multiplayer games at all. Because a lot of people, like, let's say Fortnite, for example, you'll watch someone and you'll be like, oh, they did this cool thing and they like shot from this building and they had a good vantage point. You'll then do that when you play.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of people watch to learn.
Yeah.
That's very different from a single player experience.
Right.
Because I remember when Twitch first was a thing, a lot of games were like, no, you can't stream our game. We'll ban you.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they didn't want it to hurt themselves. It's the same with like piracy, right? Like, we don't want you playing for free. Now, the argument there is the same as you said. The people pirating probably weren't going to buy the game. The people that did pirate, a lot of people that did pirate would pirate to see if they liked it. And then if they did, they would buy it, which is like something that they've uncovered recently. I don't know the numbers on it, but
mm-hmm.
I've done it. Like I've gotten a game and then I'm like, this is really good. I'm going to buy it and like support it. I'm more like that with our smaller devs than I am with the EAs of the world, because they don't need my support. God forbid them. But that's, it's so hard. I think it's even to start the conversation, I think they're going in the right step. Like, it could be that maybe they only get 10% and the streamer still gets 40 or something. Because I'd like, the numbers I came up with were very just, I gave an even example.
Mm-hmm.
Would you think it's more fair then?
I don't necessarily think it's unfair. I'm just, I assumed that people aren't going to be happy about it.
Do you think the people watching would care at all and it would be the streamers that aren't happy about it?
The streamers aren't going to be happy about it. I don't think people watching are going to give two shits.
Yeah, that's fair. I reckon the generic person watching won't give two shits. The hardcore people that are like, oh, my favorite streamer should get paid more, blah, 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 because I'm in love with them. We'll care.
Are there even people like that?
I think there are. I have seen multiple times, and this makes me sad, but people cosplaying like their favorite streamers and stuff. I don't even know why that's a thing.
Who? What?
I've seen it on Reddit and stuff.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, there. So I think, you know, someone becomes famous, someone, like, there will be people out there that want to be you and want to idolize you.
Yeah, fair enough.
That's kind of how fame works, I guess. Mm. And it's never going to be like everyone that watches you wants to be that, but you'll have that small percent.
Yeah.
Like the people that go kill their favorite movie star because they can't have them, so no one else should, that kind of crap. That's
an odd thing to think. Anyway.
Well, I imagine those people aren't right in the head at all. No,
it's not, but moving on.
It's probably like being famous sounds horrible, by the way. Because I know a few people that know some famous people and like they say that, yeah, just to get like a normal meal at a restaurant is hard.
Yeah.
And I myself like just if I feel like, oh, I want to go to this place. And not being able to do that unless you had, like, the seven-armed security. Like, that'd suck so much. But oh well. RuneScape Classic shuts down after 17 years. This is just Classic. The one that the remade one is still live. It's still going to go on. I haven't played it in forever. I played it when I was a kid, and I kind of think it's a kid's game. I know other people don't think that. I think I may just think that because I haven't played the new one. I played Classic and never went to the new one because I found other things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Did you play RuneScape at all?
Nope.
Never even interested or...
never knew it existed.
Never knew it existed. I think it came out at, like, because this was before WoW, I'm pretty sure. So it came out in a time where probably only the heavy is in, like... likes a lot, not heavy as in fat people, but the heavily enthused in gaming probably knew about it. It did grow, obviously, but by the time you heard about it, did you think it was too late to get into?
I heard about it at uni.
Which would have been, let's say, 8 years ago.
No, less than that.
Less than that. So it was out for like 12 years by that time.
I don't know. But when I heard it about it, I didn't know what it was. Like, I had heard a name of RuneScape, had no idea what it involved.
You misheard it as well. You're like, RuneScape? Why are we scraping runes?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Did I tell you about, the one of the Let's Plays that I was watching, they were talking about RuneScape, mm-hmm. and they were saying that when they were younger as a kid, they misread it and thought there was a gap.
RuneScape. But like the R and the, I'm getting the logo up right now. I'm pretty sure that
there was absolutely no bloody reason to think
RuneScape. If we go images, that
should... like the old school logo.
All right, so that's the old... Okay, so all the letters are capitals, but there's no way you can't, like, see that that is two words.
Yeah, but it might also be because as a kid they didn't know what a rune was, so they maybe didn't think...
Rune? I think you mean RuneScape, silly game.
Yeah, well,
like... I know better than to word.
Like, to them, they would have seen the word run...
And then, like, and then well, like that a must
funny,
be escape.
A funny...
way of saying escape.
Way of putting escape, like... They if they didn't know the word rune, they probably didn't see it like that.
On that note, like their new logo.
Actually, speaking of that.
Yeah.
Fun thing that I did with a game.
What game was it?
Obscure.
Yep.
Type in, because you got to see the logo.
All right. Okay, Obscure game logo.
Yep.
Mechanical keyboard. All right, that is not helpful at all, Google. See, do you know what would be funny if Google interpreted that as like, oh, you want to see some...
You just want to see some really, really obscure game. Yeah. Right.
Because it has done that a bit later.
So it's the one, of the like, far right, for instance.
All right. So people look up obscure game logo and...
Oh, actually, no, that's obscured. That's something else.
So you thought it was obscure?
No.
Okay. What did you just tell me? What you thought?
So, but no, this is the story, right?
Yep.
This is a game that I used to play with an old boyfriend in high school.
Yep.
And neither of us had ever discussed the title, right? But one day I was looking at the cover of the game while we were playing, and I'm like, oh, it's Obscure. That's what it's called. And then he was like, oh my God, it is too. And I'm like, did you think it was OBS Cure? Like, we thought it was like the, because it's like a zombie-ish kind of game. We thought that like the plague thing that was going around was called OBS, and we're trying to find a cure. And we both individually thought that without actually discussing it.
Looking at one of the logos, I can see why you think that.
Yeah.
Like, they've obviously, what they've done is used the word obscure, but highlighted the cure part.
Because, yeah.
Probably because zombies.
Because of cure, right? Yeah. And, yeah, neither of us had ever, like, said the title to each other.
Yep.
So that the other one thought that's what it was called. We'd both looked at it and individually thought, yeah, that's called OBS Cure.
They probably didn't do many trial runs with
test audiences.
Yeah, probably back when games couldn't even afford that kind of stuff. Gaming culture has come a long way. There is, when I worked at the studio I worked at, like, you hired like test groups.
Uh-huh.
And they were not fun people. Like, I don't know. It's like they hired a bunch of people that hate games to play games.
Well, that's probably, yeah.
It's probably the best thing to
what they did. Do you hate games? Come play games.
Maybe like they once like loved games. They got into like the testing thing. Like, I get to test games because I can imagine this actually happening.
And then they just fucking hate
games. And then like after the 40th time playing like the shit level of Perfect Dark on N64 that keeps bugging out, they're like, yeah, I'm done.
I can imagine. I think it would be fun for like maybe a year.
No, you would hate it after a week.
I don't think I would.
You're a bit of a perfectionist. You would play. You would have like a sheet. It would have the reproduction steps to do what you need to do and test it. You would send that off. A developer or a designer would fix that. You'd get it back. Let's say that's 20 minutes into the game, right? You would have to do all the stuff the same way that 20 minutes in. Do you not think that would be the most, would that not kill you after a while?
What do you mean? Yeah, then you'd recreate the steps that you did to get that bug.
Yep.
Right?
Yes.
To see if they fixed it.
Yes.
Why would that be?
Because that's all you do. You don't get to, like, it's very rare you get to just be like, oh, here's a game. Can you play through it and see if there's anything wrong with it?
But you are the one that finds the bug in the first place, right?
In small, succinct chunks.
How do you mean?
Like, you don't just sit around and play through the whole game. You have to, there's like, I'm not sure for big AAA games, but for like, because I worked on kids' games. So for that, you had, because the testers were adults, but they had to treat it like they were a kid,
mm-hmm.
which is like, can you just press literally everything on the screen and see what happens
on this time. Level?
Yeah, grab that hammer, just see what happens.
Mm-hmm.
And doing shit like that, stuff that like you as an adult would never do playing it.
Mm.
Like you would look at it like obviously no one like, but kids, based on like your little sister actually, when I saw her playing the Shopkins game, she just wasn't reading anything and then asking your dad, how do I do the thing? And he's just like, if you read it.
Yeah.
If you didn't just keep tapping the screen when it was trying to show you something. Yeah, like, they have to test it like that.
Mm-hmm.
And I can own, like, when I had to, like, repro my own work, because I was a programmer, and, like, oh, I'd fix it, and I'd test it to make sure that I've done it right. Mm-hmm. And then they would have to test to confirm.
Mm-hmm.
But they had to do a lot. Like, there was, like, let's say 10 developers and there was 4 testers testing all the developers' work, right?
Yep.
I can only imagine they're dead inside now.
Well, yeah, like on maybe a kid's game, but...
I can't imagine it's any better for other games. Maybe it is, but I sincerely doubt it.
Okay.
Testing sucks. And it is nothing like what people think it is like, which sucks.
It sounds exactly like I thought it was.
Then you're a smart person, but there are a lot of people that... Not so much in adults because they kind of learn, but I hate hearing it when like a 16-year-old's like, I'm going to be a game tester. I'm like, no, you're not. Mm-hmm. Don't say that. Go back and finish maths or whatever class you're skipping right now to play RuneScape. The RuneScape logo, by the way, the new one, like it's much crisper, but it doesn't have, to me, it doesn't have like the kind of feel the old one does.
Well, yeah, because it's different.
I know, but the old one... I like
the new one.
Do you know what? This is probably just nostalgia hitting me.
I think it is.
Goddamn RuneScape. Damn it. All right. Do you ever play Chivalry Medieval Warfare?
No.
Okay. Well, it was a really good medieval combat game. Deadliest Warrior expansion was okay. They brought out a new one called Mirage Arcana Warfare. It is now, they're taking it down because of the GDPR, which I still don't know what it stands for. Something privacy rights.
Global
defense privacy rights.
I don't know.
Anyway, so they're taking it down off. Yeah, they're taking it down off of, it could be that global distribution. I don't know. They're taking the game down because they can't be bothered, but they don't want to spend the money it would to make their game GDPR compliant. Now, mm-hmm. A lot of games have to do this. Essentially, the GDPR is you can't, without someone's permission, or not permission, but you have to notify them that their data is being collected or something like that. So a lot of games have telemetry or they store stuff on the like for multiplayer games. Wouldn't
it be gaming data privacy rights?
No, because GDPR is for websites and everything.
Oh.
Global data. GDPR is a new EU thing.
Mm-hmm.
That like affects Google, that you would have noticed on your emails the last week. You've gotten a lot of privacy rights.
Oh, actually, no, I do, because I did a thing for your work for the GDPR, and I do know what it is because I Googled it, and I don't have my phone to...
So what you're saying is it's on your phone. It's also on my phone because I also have Google.
Yeah.
And you're not helping me at all right now.
No, I'm saying that it's out there. You just have to Google it.
We're just going to continue talking. Everyone knows the gist, but it's why you would have gotten...
No, I want you to Google it. It's really bugging me.
Okay. GDPR. There you go. GDPR has worldwide impact. Thank you. General Data Protection Regulation. We got data right.
It wasn't what we
thought. We got data right.
I got data right.
To be fair, means basically what we said.
Yeah.
So we were close. But a lot of older games where like the developers like, you know what, it is not worth the money for us to make this game compliant and we don't want to get fined, so we're just taking it down.
Mm.
Ragnarok was one of those games.
It would be hard for me to really understand how, like, I don't really know what would be involved in trying to make it compliant. Wouldn't it just be a notice at the start of the game?
No. So for everyone that they've recorded any data on, that has to be taken out of the servers while still keeping all the data that is still useful for the game there. They would have, if they might have to take it further and individually like email everyone who's played or whatever, and they have data on, and say, do you accept us doing that? And then delete data the people individually. That
said no. Yeah. Okay.
Like it's, then they would have to stop. Like, let's say you've got a telemetry mechanic in there that records how long people play and stuff. And it's like pretty built into some of your core game. You'd have to go in, rebuild all the binaries, redistribute that patch.
Mm-hmm.
So even some that probably could be fixed in a day would probably be like some of them, especially if it's like a game that they're just making no money on anyway, they'd be like, nah.
I'm not going to bother.
Nah.
Okay, well.
Yeah, you won't see anything like this with AAA games because AAA, even like a 10-year-old AAA game probably, well, not 10 years, let's say 5 years, probably still makes enough sales from like Steam sales and all those kind of bundles that it's still worth it to do it, to still worth it to keep patch it to, and letting people just have those trickle sales coming in.
Mm.
It's different. The other thing that it's added to the the industry is that bigger, like game publishers and stuff are hiring lawyers and people, experts on privacy stuff, because now that like they have to, if someone calls them, emails them, calls them, gets in contact with them, they have to delete that user's information if they're an EU citizen or they're an EU company.
Wait, if people contact them requesting them
to delete it.
Not just if they contact them for any reason.
No, not for any reason. Though if you do contact them for any reason, you can't hold any of their information like you used to be able to.
Yeah.
Outside of gaming, what this does mean for me that it made me happy is anyone that, you know how you get those random email things if you've like used a service once or bought something from somewhere and they're like, oh, you definitely want to be part of this
ongoing email list.
Yeah, they have to ask you to do that now.
Mm.
And they're going to get a lot of no's.
Here's the thing on that. So today, because it was free Big Mac Day.
Yep.
Signing up to the Macca's app.
Mm-hmm.
You can't click like submit to your like details registration until you've ticked that you agree to the privacy statement, but also that you want to receive emails.
Dirty.
So I don't actually know how legal that is.
Completely legal.
You can't force someone to say, yeah, I want emails when they don't.
Yes.
If the option is...
No, like, correct.
I think the whole point is that you correct. Need to have the option to
you
not
can't
receive...
force someone, but they don't have a need in their life to sign up for your service. That is the difference there.
Yeah, but no, my point being is that you need, I thought that you need to be able to like have the platform that you're offering like access to, they need to have the option to not receive ongoing emails from you.
So the law would be, this is how I bet they've interpreted it and the loophole. It would be, you have to ask and they have to say yes. There'll be nothing written there saying that you can't refuse to let them sign up to a free service. If they're paying for a product, it might be different.
Mm.
But to like a free, especially like a voucher app like the Macca's app,
mm.
There'll be nothing saying you can't stop them from signing up if they don't accept it. So what Macca's has probably thought, they'll be like 10% of people are going to not sign up because of this. But 90 will, and we'll email those 90 and get more sales. It's fair just enough. Numbers to them.
Yeah.
You are just a number. You are Caitlin 234. I know it sucks. Anyway, next thing. Do you want to talk about The Sims 4? Tell me about Sims 4, Caitlin.
I don't know. Apparently Sims 4 Seasons is out.
And tell me about that. Why should I be excited about Sims 4 Seasons?
I've got no clue.
You're right, I shouldn't be. I think like after two expansions of Sims 4, because I did like The Sims, I like building things and I like kind of being architectural and stuff. I know Sims doesn't offer much of that, but it was fun. I liked living through their lives and simulating life. But The Sims 4, like, it came with basically nothing. I know they've added a lot now, but like too little too late kind of thing.
It kind of was like that for each new Sims, really. Like you got all the expansion packs for one, and then two came out, and then you had, like, the two gameplay was obviously much better than the original game. Like, you had more options and whatnot for interactions, but then you didn't have all of your expansions. So it was kind of like stripping back the game, but also upgrading the game. And it was the same when you jumped to Sims 3 and there were no expansion packs out.
I feel like, though, with Sims 4, they took a lot away. And I think a lot of people felt that way.
Yeah, no, I did feel the same way.
Because it didn't have swimming pools. They took away the open neighborhood that Sims 3 introduced.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the things that they'd been building up from 1, 2, and 3, it felt like they were just like, eh.
It was an odd step back for a lot of things.
Like, it just... because that open neighborhood made it feel a bit more alive. Because I know the Sims 4, I don't know if they fixed this, but one of the big reasons I stopped playing is after a generation or two, everyone in the neighborhood doesn't have kids.
What do you mean?
Like, the neighborhood doesn't keep on living, only the family you're playing does.
What, even if you have aging and
even if you have aging and stuff.
Progression on.
Yep. I can't remember what the exact... it wasn't even a bug, it was just poor design. Essentially...
because they never thought that you would actually ever play out a family that long, maybe, or something?
Yeah, something like that. Or maybe it was only Sims that your Sims knew or something, but you would notice it after so long. I think the average was about two generations. Half the town would be ghosts. So new Sims would be generated. So if there's not enough people to fill out the houses, they'd be like, oh, we'll just generate to here and to here.
Uh-huh.
This person to work at the cheesecake shop. So they'll generate all those,
mm-hmm.
all the NPCs, but...
nobody's in the actual houses.
I think they'd be in the houses and stuff, but they wouldn't have kids and do all that kind of stuff. And eventually everyone would die out, and then they'd just generate more. You wouldn't have these big lineages, which you really should.
I can't say I've ever experienced that.
But you really notice it when it becomes a ghost town, essentially. Because, like, all the people that die from aging, because aging is on, but they weren't good at doing, making families. They weren't good at the bang bang, which sucked.
So, but why would you notice that part when everyone's a ghost? Like, obviously a lot of people are going to die.
I can't remember. Let's look at it. Sims 4, Ghost Town Problem. Ghost Town, but without the ghost problem? What? Oh, okay. That's what would happen. The town becomes full of ghosts and they won't repopulate.
Okay.
Which...
yeah, that makes more sense.
Sorry, I knew it was something to do with ghosts and something to do with repopulating.
Yeah.
I obviously didn't link them enough.
Yeah.
But that makes sense. Yeah, it's obviously a very poor game design.
Yeah, see, I don't... like, the ghost thing is okay. Like, I don't know how I feel about it. It was a cool aspect, but I think...
when they started to, like, basically just let the ghosts be normal Sims and walk around, that was too far.
Yeah, it always put me off a bit, the whole ghost thing. Like, maybe it should be, like, an optional thing. Like, maybe if you interact with a grave, you can interact with the ghost or activate a ghost and not activate a ghost. I think
you'd need to buy an item or something to, like, bring the ghost up or something.
Yeah, like, I don't think that they should just randomly generate and walk around and,
or
how they used to do
that. But here's the thing, they've taken a lot of good stuff out. So, like, I can see they don't want to make this kind of stuff. But, like, if the Sim died angrily, because you get the different coloured ghosts based on how they died, like, maybe they'd come back and haunt the person they think they're angry about, or maybe helped get them killed or something like that.
Yeah, that would be cool.
That would be a perfectly good reason for it to be there, and you'd be like, that's really cool story element to this story that I'm trying to make for my Sims. But just the ghosts being around all the time.
Yeah, just ghosts wandering around the town aimlessly was a bit...
It really ruins...
or when, like, a ghost would randomly spawn or something in my house. You know, like, this is probably a couple of generations back. Maybe Sims 2 we're talking. Yep. When it would just be like, oh no, like a ghost's shown up, like make sure none of your Sims see them because it will scare them, sort of thing.
It's
like it was like a random event kind of thing, and I was like, oh, that's a bit stupid.
Yeah. Oh well. Moving on, the Sea of Thieves update, The Hungering Deep. It's a free DLC made for Sea of Thieves. Now, what I say about that is it better damn be free. The game's $100. If, like, they were charging for their DLC. Oh. Because the game did not come with much to begin with. It seems like... No.
I know almost nothing.
Yeah, so it wasn't a very deep game. You sailed the deep seas, but that's about it. But no, the mechanics weren't deep. I feel like people buying it, they'll kind of... It's kind of an investment. Like, you're paying $100 for this, unless you do the Xbox Game Pass, which I know a lot of people did. But if you're one of the people that bought it, I feel like you spend $100 and it's an investment that they're going to keep adding to the game. If you also have to pay like $30 an expansion on top of that, like that's ridiculous. So glad it's free.
Haven't actually confirmed whether it is or...
They said it was free. I'm saying like they kind of advertise it as like the new free DLC. And I'm like, yeah, it better be free.
You damn right.
It arrives May 29th. So new arrivals on the sea.
That's tomorrow, isn't it?
Is it? Yes, but not for America.
It would be today. Oh, no, wait. No, America's like one. But
one day behind us. Yeah. I think the most is 20 hours behind us, so maybe. Maybe. So, oh, yeah. Hawaii. Hawaii would be the only place right now that would be like, no, it's like in 2 days, man.
Yeah.
Honolulu.
Cool.
Yeah, so there's new riddles and rumors. I hope that it's good, and I really hope that they add a lot for the players that are playing it to do. Because like, I didn't get into it, but I want the people that did spend $100 to get their money's worth.
Because
I think they should. Like, that's a lot of money.
Yeah.
Like, I do fine in life, and I still wouldn't want to spend $100 on this game.
I liked the concept of it.
See, really love the concept when they brought it out. Thought it was going to be great. It came out, I was like, that looks boring. Yeah. Don't know. A lot of people have said that, oh, you know, if I'm going to spend lots of hours in it, which I do agree, if you're going to spend 100 hours in it and that's $1 an hour, that's good.
Mm.
But I also think each one of those hours should be worth it, and I don't feel it is for this game.
Yeah.
It's not just about the dollar to hour ratio. It's a
quality.
It's about the quality as well. Mm. Like, it's the same as if you live 100 years, that's great. If you were miserable those 100 years, was it great?
No.
Like, if you diet and do everything right, you could still get hit by a bus tomorrow. But if you're having fun, eating what you like, you know, doing things that might shorten your life, but you have a great life, is that better? I think it is. And I kind of, it's a roundabout way of saying it, but I feel that would be the same for this game. Like, if you're doing the same task over and over again for those 100 hours because they haven't added much, I don't think it's really worth the 100 hours.
Yeah.
And therefore the $100. So I hope they all this new stuff is great for people.
Hmm.
Graveyard Keeper now has a release date, and they did a alpha launch. So you can pre-order the game now, get the alpha, play it. I really want to play it.
Yeah.
But I'm going to wait till it launches, because any feature that's not in it, I think will ruin it for me for when it does fully launch.
Yeah. You're not good at giving games a second chance.
Well, it depends. If they come out in, like, because what Vermintide 2 did, they had the beta.
Mm-hmm.
They really took on what people said. They're like, all right, we'll change these things. I think that's a great use of a beta. If you're just doing it and saying, if you pre-order now, we'll let you play now with the beta.
Mm.
And then they don't really change anything, even though, like, these mechanics are horrible and everyone hates them. They're like, you've already given us money. Like, that,
yeah,
I think is a horrible... That really puts me off. But, like, what Vermintide did was great. There was a free open beta. They're really keeping with the game, keeping the updates up. mm-hmm. and trying to listen to their community. I think that's what betas are meant to be.
Yeah.
Whereas, I guess that games don't do betas anymore. They do early access. Ugh. Whatever. Anyway, comes out August 15th. I'm really keen to play it. I hope it goes well. Now, we mentioned this already, but Detroit Become Human. We don't have a PS4, so we can't play it. But I think this is the one I've never considered buying a PS4 until seeing this game.
Okay. It looks good.
Yeah, it looks good. Yeah. Saw Italics playing it on Twitch. The mechanics for it, the way it looks, I think it's really interesting. I love branching stories, so it seems very for me. But spending $500 on a console to play a $60 game
means I'd be able to play my other PS4 games.
And you would get God of War, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah, so it might be worth the investment for us. I think we should do it. We've got an Xbox, and I basically exclusively play PC. And I will do that for a long time. If we do get a PS4, we can play Rainbow Skies. It's also a game coming out. I don't think I saw a release date, but it's for PS4, PS3, and PS Vita. There's also a cloud sync functionality between it, which I was just like, who's playing on their PS Vita cloud syncing and then going to their PS4?
Yeah. But everybody? Hardcore people?
I guess like probably the same percentage of people who own a PS Vita because they're already strange people.
That's very true.
Because like they just... I guess they did all right, but like Nintendo's just owned that portable market.
But if you have it on PS4, do you then have to buy it for PS Vita?
Ooh.
If you want to cloud sync?
That would suck.
Yeah.
I don't know. That's a good thought. It's a turn-based fantasy RPG anyway. I think it looks kind of cute. It's... hasn't had the highest budget for graphics, obviously, but I don't think games need that to be good. But I will mention it for the people that do care. It's because some people are graphic snobs. I am not one of them. It looks cute and fun, though.
Yeah, it's very cutesy. I don't know.
Either way, that...
I don't know if it's for me.
It's probably for me, probably not for you. Again, you don't like turn-based, so...
Yeah. I mean, like... If it's a good game, you know.
Yeah, you won't know until you don't know until you do it. Nintendo, speaking of cute games, Nintendo applied for their N64 trademark. So everyone thinks they're going to release N64 Classic Console, which I think is a great idea. It'll make so much money.
Probably, yeah.
What they could do, though, I don't know why they don't do it, is just release all this stuff on their virtual consoles for the Switch and the Wii U.
Yeah.
Like, it's great having a classic N64, yay, they're probably just going to emulate it anyway.
It's just yet another thing that you have to plug in.
It's another thing I have to plug in. I already have a Switch. Even if you charge a little bit of a premium for it, you would make so many more sales on the virtual console than you will the hardware, I think.
Especially because, like, with the Switch
doing as well as it is?
Hey?
The Switch doing as well as it is right now?
Well, yeah, that. But, like, I don't feel like there's a lot of stuff out there for it. And I don't know if it's just because, like, the games that are out just don't really appeal to me.
I think that they did really well. What they did, actually... Okay, so they've done a different model from Xbox and PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
So Xbox and PlayStation, they have a lineup of games that come out when the console comes out.
Yeah.
But then there's a big drag until all the people, like all the indies and all the third parties that didn't get the license for it to have that lineup really only get to start developing late into the game.
Mm.
So then you have this big drag of things that don't come out for your new console. What Nintendo do, they have a hit title, Breath of the Wild, that comes out with it. Then a month later, they have Mario. Then a month later, Donkey Kong. And each game, like, there's always something to look forward to. Xenoblade. I mean,
yeah, you say that, but I just don't... That's what I'm saying. With the games that are out right now...
Fair enough.
I can remember maybe being interested in one or two, maybe.
See, loved Breath of the Wild. I still haven't played Mario. Want to. I think their business model for doing that, though, I think...
Well, see, I like those two games, but those are the two games that I have on it. See, and it's a console that I've had for, like, over a year now.
Yeah, I guess.
And I don't have any more games than those two.
Fair enough.
That's what I'm saying.
No, okay, I get what you're saying. I think from a business perspective, though, so, I think it is better.
I'm not, like, that release method is fine, but I'm just saying, like, if you have your virtual console with all these other games, even if they're not new games, it's more stuff that I can play on the console.
No, I completely agree. Their business practices around the virtual console, their online play, aren't great. Like, with their cloud saving, you can't back up your saves to one, so if your console breaks, all your Goodbye. Saves are gone. To get cloud saves, you have to subscribe $20 a year. Yes, it's not much, but the fact that you have to do it is what's not great. To get cloud saves for all your games, you need to sign up for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. If you stop paying, do your cloud saves disappear? And
You would just be locked out of the account, I imagine.
Yeah. Hopefully it's just that. But I think they could be doing a lot better, offering a lot more to the service quite easily, and I'm not sure why they don't. Like, they have no good reason not to.
Mm.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
Nintendo's being Nintendo. Did you ever play the old Pharaoh games?
No.
Did you know what they were?
No.
Okay, they're kind of like simulation games, RTS simulation games where you rose a kingdom in old Egypt. So this new game, Egypt Old Kingdom, which you saw the trailer for, is like that. You manage your Egyptian empire,
mm-hmm.
trying to build it up, appease the gods and stuff. Looks really good. What did you think?
It looked simple.
I think it did look a bit simple, but sometimes that's good. I don't think, like, if... Because it, like, I have moods when I play games. Sometimes I want something that's not going to take my attention. So I might play this. But sometimes, like, people play Clicker Heroes.
Yeah.
So.
I don't get it. But anyway.
Moving on from that, like, sometimes you want a game that doesn't take up as much as your attention. It's also good if you want to play a game that you want to watch a movie at the same time or something, because that's a thing that you can do in these days. But if I want to play something that I want to, like, really put my attention to, I'll play, like, Stellaris or Dota or something. But if I want to play a game that's simple, you know, that's fine too.
Yeah.
So I don't think that's not a bad thing. It's a different thing.
I think it'd be something that I'd maybe play for a couple of hours and...
Yeah. I actually...
may,
like,
never return.
From the gameplay trailer, I really liked the art style of all the Egyptian hieroglyphs and stuff.
Yeah, that did look nice.
Like, the tech tree and stuff. Like, it just... It looked like they put a lot of work and care into that stuff.
Mm, yeah.
Which I think is going to be one of its charms, because it did say that they worked with a lot of historians and, like, they've used a lot of actual quotes and stuff. So I think they put a lot of care and due diligence into making this.
That part does appeal to me.
So I think not only is it an empire-building game, I think it's going to be something for people that appreciate games or appreciate history, especially, like, a lot of people love Egyptian history.
Yeah, I'm
you're one of them.
Fond of the Egyptian.
So I think it's not just going to be a simple game. I think there'll be a lot to learn/appreciate.
Mm.
Like how Assassin's Creed did the Explorers mode, where you can learn lots of stuff. Do you know about that?
No.
So they took out all the combat and everything out of Assassin's Creed. And instead, that you can go around old Egypt and stuff and learn about lots of things.
Okay.
You would actually really like it, I think.
Interesting. Which Assassin's Creed is this?
The latest one.
Okay.
17, I think it is.
Okay.
I'm not sure what number they're up to, but
yeah.
I would not be surprised if it was 17.
Yeah.
The movie did not do well. I think that's all we've got for today. Oh, no. One more thing. Two more things. EA lost a license. If only Disney would take the Star Wars license away from them and someone good would make it. They cancelled two single-player games because they want to do live services. I don't want to spend money on live services. I like having a game that takes 15 hours, I can allot for that time because I have a job. I got to do things.
Mm-hmm.
Like if there's a game that, let's say, it takes 5 hours, 10 hours, I can be like, all right, I can buy this and I know I'm going to enjoy that experience for this amount of time and that's fine. I don't need to always have to be connected to everyone doing everything all the time. I know that what makes exactly them more money. What
exactly are you talking about?
EA doesn't believe single player games are a thing anymore.
Right.
So when they got the Star Wars license, they cancelled, or they bought a company and cancelled their single player Star Wars game.
Right.
Which looked really good from like the screens and everything that were already released.
Mm-hmm.
But whatever.
Okay.
Yeah. So every single game of EA's that comes out, they're trying to make, which is weird. You would think they'd make one game that they want everyone to subscribe to and be the one they play all the time, not make five of them. Because then they're competing with each other.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they're hoping to appeal to different audiences, yeah, and capture everyone. Because one game isn't going to serve that purpose.
It's not, but like, there'll be lots of people that like might want to play a single player game, like me. I'm just bitching for the sake of bitching.
No, I miss single player games.
It actually, since I've gotten older, like there are still the games I play with my friends, but a lot of the time now, like I've been playing Ni No Kuni just when I want some time to play a game.
Hmm.
It's nice. And they definitely still have a place. Like all the PS4, sorry, all the PlayStation exclusives, all the Nintendo exclusives are basically great single player stories.
Mm, yeah.
So like, and they have sold well. So I don't know. I guess though, with it is better for a console maker, Sony, Nintendo, to make a good single player game that brings people to the console, makes them buy the console. A third party like EA or Ubisoft don't need to do that. They just need to sell their games.
Yeah, and you can't really do subscriptions with single player games.
No, not really. The closest, I don't have anything there. Like Sims is the only thing that I could think of that you might do that because of the way that it works. Like, yes, it's single player, but it has a lot of replayability.
If they changed it to a subscription where you get all of the new content.
Yeah, see, I think a lot of people would do that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't, but I know a lot of people that love The Sims that would.
Mm, I know. It's a good game.
It's example A, everybody.
But anyway, other than that.
Yeah. Oh, well. Thank you for watching, everybody. You know where to find us. Kescast.com. Look us up on YouTube. Watch our Let's Plays. We have been playing State of Decay 2, which we didn't speak about this week because you can watch our Let's Play. We did our first impressions. It was... I really like it. What do you think of it?
I am enjoying playing it rather than watching it. It's much more fun to play than watch.
It is hard when we play a lot of single-player games.
So, like, now that we've switched over to the multiplayer, it's good.
Oh, you meant because you watched the first hour and it wasn't as fun as playing it?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, not just the games in general.
Like, my first impressions of it have increased now that I've played it because
it's fun.
Seeing it looked like it did look like a good game, but actually playing it, yeah, it is fun.
That's what I like. I saw a few people not give it great reviews, but I've had great fun.
I also haven't played the first one, so I probably...
I didn't play the first one.
Yeah, I don't have a lot to compare it to, so maybe that's why we find it so good.
That's a great point. I think a lot of people didn't play the first one, though. I'm pretty sure it was an Xbox exclusive,
yeah,
and didn't sell well, but everyone loved it and it showed great promise. I think this is them...
like trying to redo it, almost
living up to their original promise and actually hitting it, but kind of like too little too late for a lot of people.
Yeah, probably.
But us coming in new, we're just like, this is really fun.
Yeah.
And I really loved playing.
We'll see how that opinion changes as we grow the community and things become more stressful trying to manage it. But
well, my the one I'm playing by myself is harder because you're not playing with me. Because it's essentially a free extra person. Yeah, because you're a ninja. But like, it's like a free extra person that you don't have to feed every day, which doesn't use your resources and your beds and stuff.
Mm.
Sorry. That changes the difficulty a lot. Because the one I'm playing by myself, one, there was a point where
that's a good point. I don't know. Do I not use your resources? I switch characters, they get rested and everything.
It might use yours.
That seems odd because I'm not in my...
Or just not use them. Yeah. Like it would be a time thing and because your community's not living at the moment. Yeah. I don't know. My resources were building up really fast and not going down much, so I don't think you're using them.
Okay.
And everything, all the crates and stuff connected to your inventories, not mine.
All the crates?
The supplies.
Oh, yeah, like the supplies that I got in terms of guns and weapons.
Either way, having you as a player is much better than having, like, I went out with two AI and there was a horde and they ran it, like, they have like this, I don't know what it is, but they have like an area around them that if they're zombies, they try and kill them, essentially, because like they want to protect themselves.
Mm.
But they ran into the horde and I was like, guys, no, you're going to die.
Don't do that.
And they died. And then the people that I was doing the mission for, like the other output, the other group, the newcomers or whatever they were called, they were like, you got our people killed. We hate you. I was like, they got themselves killed.
They were suicidal, man.
Oh, I was just like, God damn it.
Yeah, I suppose in that aspect, there is like another person controlling.
Like, yeah, I feel like
standing back when it needs to be.
Yeah, not being stupid.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess so.
That is the difference between Dad of Boy and State of Decay. Boy is smart. Grown-ass adults run into zombies and get themselves killed. Stupid fucking year. Anyway, that's all we had. Also, you may need to ask your mum for permission to play Steam games now. They have an under 16 thing they're introducing. We were wrapping
up and you've just brought up another topic.
I'm just mentioning it. I don't want to talk about it. I just think it's interesting. I am wrapping up now. Thank you for listening, everybody. I'm not even sure what episode number this is, but it's been a good few weeks. We're enjoying this. So, yeah, if you want to keep listening, we'll keep making them. You can check us out on KessCast.com, our YouTube. And, yeah, if you like any of those, you know, talk to us. Tell us what you want to hear. We'll make it happen. So thank you again and catch you.